Church. Welcome to our homes. We're going to just have a little discussion, and today we're going to be looking at how to pray and worship. I don't know if some of you have managed to catch the service from last week where there was a discussion about how to read the Word of God. If you didn't catch it, go back and check it out. So we're going to just kick off and just read a psalm together. I wonder, Joe, would you read us Psalm 138? Is that all right?
Sure. So it says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall sing you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. But though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Great, thank you. So I thought we'd just start by just having a little look at the psalm and really thinking about prayer and worship together. There are many ways, aren't there, we think about prayer and worship. We can think about them separately. So when we think about prayer, we can think about intercession and petition, confession. We think about worship. We can think about praise and celebration, bowing down. Actually, so often prayer and worship can be kind of intertwined. I don't know if you can think about a worship time you've been to where no one prayed. That's really unusual. Normally, where there's sung worship, there's prayer in there. And even on your own at home, you might be praying, and actually you come and you start to worship. It's a natural kind of overlap and an intertwined thing. So today what we're going to do is have a little look at the how of prayer and worship. And so from this Psalm 138, I've kind of handily come up with three C's. So we're going to think about considering him. We're going to think about the fact that he has compassion towards us, and also that we can just come as we are. Firstly, when we come to prayer and worship, we can stop to consider him. So if we think about Psalm 138, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And right at the very beginning, verse 1 and 2, we see David, he's wholeheartedly thankful. He's singing praise. He's bowing down before God. And in verse 2 and 3, we see why. Why is he praising and thanking? He's praising God for his steadfast love and faithfulness. He's obviously called to the Lord and been answered, and he's rejoicing that actually God has given him a strength in his soul. He's considering the goodness of God and rejoicing in worship because of God's persistent, ongoing love and faithfulness towards him. He's had prayer answered, and in his weakness, it's been turned to strength and courage. You know, elsewhere in scripture, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. They say to him, teach us to pray. And he starts with, say, our Father, hallowed be your name. He's saying, start with thinking about God. Think about the Father. He's holy. Think about him. So when we come to pray, we almost want to stop and think about who it is we're coming to. Consider him. I've been looking at a bit of Pete Gregg's prayer course, and one of the things that's really impacted me, that's kind of been an ongoing thing, is he uses the word pray as an acronym, a method of coming to God in prayer. And P stands for just the word pause. And that's something I've really integrated into my own time, in that sense of pausing, be still and know that he is God. Come and consider him before doing anything else. So secondly, when we come to prayer and to worship, we remind ourselves that the Lord has compassion towards us. That's the second C. Verse 6 says, "For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly." So we've started with this sense of considering him. He's high and he's holy. But we remember he has grace towards us. We are lowly and God is just favouring us with his grace. Psalm 8 speaks of that amazement. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? The psalmist, and when we come, we can just think, Lord, you're high and holy, and who am I? But we're recipients, aren't we, of the grace of God that we can rejoice in. He's chosen to set his love on us. And so our response is worship and a desire to commune with him. One of my favourite definitions of prayer is simply keeping company with God. Isn't that amazing that we can just draw near? There's a verse in James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to him and he will draw near to us. We can come and dwell with God. We can respond in an overflow of worship. And because of the compassion and grace of the Father towards us in Jesus, it means we can just come as we are. And that's the third C. We can come as we are. In Psalm 138, David came wholeheartedly to God. He was overflowing with gratitude. He called on the name of the Lord. Verse 3 tells us that he'd come to God in weakness and need. And in verses 7 and 8, we see he's actually in the midst of trouble and enemies are around him. And we see how he puts his faith and trust in God for his good purposes. And he cries out to God at the end, do not forsake the work of your hands. He's saying, don't forsake me, Lord. He's absolutely real with God and where things are at for him. Now he comes with a mix of thanksgiving and praise. And he also comes with longings and desires. He comes just as he is, doesn't he? And so we can do the same. Yeah, there's no rule book or process that we have to follow. Anyone can come and pray. You don't even need to be a Christian to pray. There's an invitation from God to come. And we can come through the blood of Jesus. There's forgiveness for us. God has made a way for us to have our sins forgiven. And he pours out his abundant favour towards us in forgiveness and makes a relationship with him possible. He's done all the work for us. So through Jesus, we can come as we are. So I hope that's a little bit helpful for us. So when we think about coming to pray and to worship, so we come by considering him. We come to remember that he has compassion on us and we can respond to his goodness and his invitation by coming just as we are. I think we've lost Jim, but hopefully he'll rejoin us in just a minute. Oh, I can hear you, Jim.
Yeah, I've disappeared.
Perhaps see if you can switch your camera back on. Or do you, unless you want to join.
That's got it. Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Jim. That's great.
I wonder where I've gone. I was thinking, who's missing? It's me.
Perfect timing. We've obviously had a little reflection on the psalm and a chance to, I know you guys have had a little chance to look at it yourselves. So I just kind of, you know, wondered, you know, in terms of your response, you know, what you picked up from the scripture or what jumped out at you. I don't know, Jim, did you want to kick us off with some of your thoughts?
Yeah. I think the first thing that occurred to me was the wholeheartedness of David. And in his giving thanks, he's even bowing down to God. And what I thought was interesting was that he does this when he's not in the temple, although we know from other scriptures he also does that. Worship and prayer are situational, not just at church on Sunday. And I love the bit in verse 2 where in love and faithfulness, the Lord has established his name and word. And I thought after our the discussion last week that God has actually, that he's established it above everything. So there are these four things of love, the love and faithfulness and the name of God and his word. He's established them above everything. Another thing that occurred to me was that David experiences the Lord answering his prayers and strengthening the same day. Now, that's infinitely better than Amazon and eBay. David experiences being in the middle. That was a joke, yeah. David experiences being in the middle of troubles, and God preserving him in the middle of them. I rarely experience being surrounded by enemies, physical enemies. Most of my enemies are internal, but I do often experience being preserved and delivered from them, especially when I ask other people to pray for me about them. Mm. And the last thing I thought was that David, who is this man after God's own heart, while clearly trusting in verse 8 shows he's trusting God for his love, his eternal purposes and his faithfulness, he still feels a need to ask God to not forget his plan and him in it.
Yeah.
And I found that encouraging. So I'm guessing that there were times for even David when, despite his faithfulness, he perhaps didn't experience same-day deliverance. So those are the thoughts that came to me as I read it anyway.
Yeah, that's great. I think we've lost Pat now. Hopefully she'll rejoin us.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
We can always join you on your screen.
The oldies, you know.
Not to worry. Well, I hope she'll rejoin
in. I'll go and see if I can help her out.
Okay. Diane, did you have some thoughts at all that you wanted to...
Yeah, I think for me, one of the main things that sort of occurred to me is that he's really kind of recognising how great God is and giving thanks and, you know, extolling him. But it's not in a very, it's not in a distant way or an unattached way. It's in a very personal way. So, you know, he says, I will praise you. I will bow down. When I called, you answered. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. It's all using I words or me words. And it's very personal to him. It's, you know, which to me obviously reflects that he had a relationship with God, that he walked with him, he talked with him. This isn't like the first time he's spoken to him. You know, we know in other Psalms that that's true. But I think that came across really clear to me. That, and then he then talks about the fact that he comes with confidence. You know, he's experienced God's goodness towards him. He says, when I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. I will praise your name for your love and faithfulness. You stretch out your hands against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. So again, he's talking about things that God has done for him, practical things, answers to prayers. And I think it's just that sort of very personal element that sometimes we can perhaps do one or the other. You know, he's praising God because he has a relationship with him, not because he just knows that God is there to be praised. So that was one of the things that I got from it.
I love that just between two of you, you've drawn something different out of the passage, and I love how the Holy Spirit does that. I think obviously our time is perhaps a little bit shorter, so I wonder if I move on to our next question. Perhaps Joe, I don't know. Obviously, if you've got something you really want to express about the word in the psalm, but I was just kind of wondering, you know, about your sort of personally, you know, your experience, kind of how you find, you know, prayer and worship. You know, and obviously feel free to talk about it in terms of your own personal devotions or within a wider group church setting. Give us some of your sort of thoughts and experience.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear everybody's ideas, by the way. And really nice to hear what you picked out of the verse. I think, you know, I've been on a journey with worship and with prayer. I think I've gone through seasons where it's been easier to enter into, and then seasons where children have come along and it's got a little bit harder. I'd say, if I'm honest, that I find worship easier to, I talk about kind of sung worship. Of course, you can kind of worship in different ways, but I find that easiest to enter into. I think at this kind of time of life with boys' bedtimes and that kind of thing, it's harder to find time to be able to fully, you know, sing out loud and to fully embrace that. But I found that for me, kind of lunchtimes in the kitchen with worship music and having that time just to realign myself have been, yeah, really fruitful times for me in this season particularly. And yeah, in terms of prayer, I think again, recently it's been, I think I found that I've been praying for people or situations kind of during the day. I think I'll sometimes I attach it to something I'm doing, like having a shower, or I don't know, if I'm on, when we were doing the school run, it was maybe when we walked past a certain road sign or something, so that it would kind of prompt me to be, you know, praying for those things. But yeah, I think something that yeah, I'd love to grow in is kind of growing that discipline of prayer and having a kind of real consistency with it, and finding that, yeah, finding that time to develop that. I think personally, I think with prayer, I can find it quite overwhelming. I can think kind of, there's just so many things that I want to pray about that I can sometimes feel, and I'm sure others have felt the same, that, you know, you feel a bit lost in the woods, you know, you want to be praying about all of these things, but it's just knowing, yeah, how to kind of cultivate that, I suppose, in your life. So that's my experience.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And actually, you know, that's really practical as well, kind of, you know, finding a time in your day. Actually, it happens to be lunchtime. Most people think, oh, it's yeah, the first thing in the morning. But actually for you, yeah, it's lunchtime, where we're getting, yeah, the lunch is ready, the music's on, and you can just have that moment with God. And also, I totally relate to this thing, this taking the opportunity if there's a moment to pray. You know, I relate to that. I might be perhaps, you know, doing the washing up, or I'll go somewhere to have for an appointment and I've got a few minutes, I've got there a bit early, and I'll be, yeah, like, I can pray in this moment. And I think that can be really helpful, yeah, for us, isn't it? To, you know, in our lives, to just grab the moments where they come. Pat, what are your thoughts? Because you're in a different season of life. Your children are grown up, and you've maybe got, you know, lots of different experiences. What would you kind of share in terms of some helpful thoughts in your experience? What's helped you in terms of prayer, worship, kind of learning, and your journey with prayer and worship?
I think prayer has changed quite a lot for me in how I actually do it. Because as Joe was saying, I can identify a lot with that. When you've got little children, it's very difficult at times to set aside. Like now, we have a list of people we pray for every day. Mm. And you can do that because we can do that after tea. We can sit down together and pray. Whereas when the children were little, the challenge was, and I think it was a helpful challenge, to say, well, this is what life is. And if I'm supposed to be praying without ceasing, how do I do that? Mm. And I see it now with my children, with their children. I think, oh, yeah, I used to do that. When the kids are having a spat about something and you have to intervene to say, no, that's not the way we talk to each other. And it's at that point that you can just say, don't do that. Or you can say, what do we think Jesus thinks about this?
Yeah.
How do you think he, and then you can say, well, should we ask him? Should we talk to him about this?
Mm.
Do we need to say sorry to him? Do we need to say sorry to each other? So it's in the actually in that sense, prayer was very easily.
Yeah.
Because there were always things happening that you had to say, God, what do we do here? And I think also, just recently, I've been reading again a book I read a long time ago. And the lady writing it, she's a farmer's wife. And he's talked with four children at least, maybe more than four, but six, I think, actually, six children, farmer's wife, six children, trying to work out how on a daily basis you worship God, you know, and you pray. And one thing she said that I can identify, and I'd really want to encourage all the young mums out there with this one. She said that she was upstairs, and it's American, so the kids were down in the basement, and they were, suddenly she hears a fracas, so goes rushing down, sound of smashing glass. She thinks, oh my goodness, comes down, the kids have been messing about and have whacked in the glass screen of something, which she's very annoyed about, absolutely loses it big time. And then sees all these kids wide-eyed looking at her and suddenly thinks, this is not how I should be. What do I do now? And what does she do? She sinks to her knees in front of the kids, says, you know, confesses and says, God, I'm really sorry. Asks her children to forgive her, opens her eyes, and all the children are kneeling as well.
Oh, wow.
So it's like God in the everyday, really, just whatever happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that expression God in the everyday is really helpful, isn't it? That actually, you know, it's a practical thing, isn't it? We can sometimes, you know, think it's a highly spiritual activity, but actually God is part of our everyday and wants to walk with us. And you know, sort of thinking about, you know, walking this out day to day. And Jim, I don't know, perhaps you might want to share some of your thoughts about, you know, how do we walk every day in praying and in worshipping? And also, how can you tell that you've grown in an aspect of prayer, or you're growing in your walk in terms of prayer and worship? Is there some fruit that you can see sometimes?
Thank you, Lucy. I mean, in fact, neither prayer or worship are natural to me. That they seemed almost impossible. I've got a mind that goes to Africa in almost in the blink of an eye, and if I spend too long blinking, I fall asleep. So physically and mentally, I struggle. And for me, it's just been saying, no, this is. God deserves this, and basically gritting my teeth and pushing on. I mean, in church, I tend to sit at the back because I'm self-conscious, and I'm trying to do what David did, which is to like worship with his whole body. I'm not actually a good mover, but I'm trying to say to God with my body as well as my heart and my mind, you are so worthy. And the same with prayer, you know, I struggle, you know, really identify with what you were saying, Joe, you know, about what on earth you pray. There's just so much to pray. Yeah. So I don't find it easy, but what I think is interesting is that as time has gone on over the years, really, I've had a sense of God actually changing me, and people who've known me a long time, and people like Pat who spend a lot of time with me, they say they can see changes. I'm not always aware of them, but I know actually I look back, if I go back 10, 15, 20 years, and I think, stagger me, what a job God's done.
Yeah, praise God.
It was no different in some senses, but then I look back and I think, oh, thank you God. And it does change. So like this morning, I had time to waste. I sat in the park and I just had a lovely time with the Lord. It just, his presence was very real. And yeah, no. So things have changed for me, and hopefully for others, you know, the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, perseverance. Mm-hmm. So I testify that God is more than adequate to work with people like me and help in this process that he delights in, really. Yeah
I love that, and I think it's true, sometimes we don't always see the fruit in ourselves, but we can see it in one another. And I think that's really important, actually, that, that when we see that fruit in each other, that we, and we spot it, that we encourage each other and just say, I see that in you. You know, your prayers are, you're praying with great faith. You know, I've not heard you pray like that before, and just sort of witness to God's work in one another, because sometimes we don't see it for ourselves. I think that's so true. So Diane, if you, I can ask you like the final kind of question, sort of thinking in terms of sharing the gospel hope. So we, you know, towards the end of my little mini talk, you know, this whole idea of coming as we are when we come to pray and to worship. You know, how do you think we can sort of share our gospel hope to others in this area of sort of prayer and worship? How would you link that in?
I think there's quite, I guess there's a number of ways. I think we can obviously share with others that don't know the Lord about answered prayer. We can talk about, we can talk it as part of our natural conversation, I think, that we commit these things to the Lord, that we see that as important, and that we're doing it on a regular basis, really. I think, personal testimony is really important, I think, because people don't, are less likely, because it's you sharing something of yourself with somebody, and I think it's easier for people to receive that and understand that. And I think just one of the things I know I was challenged about when I was at college a long time ago, I lived with a Christian lady for a year, and she used to talk about the Lord as if, you know, we literally felt like he was in the room with you. There was that, like a third person in the room, and my mum and dad, who weren't Christians at the time, used to talk about it. They said it's like Jesus is here with us, because the way she kind of was prayerful in her talk and in her manner, and so I found that was interesting, that sometimes we can separate out our lives a little bit when we're with Christians and not Christians. And I think it's important to include it in that kind of natural way, just as other people might share things that are important to them. I think, you know, it's the most important thing to us. And I'm saying all that, but I find that quite difficult to do. But that's my desire, I think, for it to become a natural way I express myself to others. You know, like even when you're out for a walk and you're looking at creation, and you know, you kind of sometimes, I am overwhelmed by things, and it's expressing that to other people, because actually they see integrity and they see that you mean that. I think if you try and do it in a forced way, then clearly that doesn't come across well. But I think, you know, to share your excitement when you do feel excited, when you do feel wow, God's done this, is to share it in that moment, you know. And also, I think it's okay to share disappointments as well sometimes, because sometimes I think we can think we've got to be the perfect Christian and we've got to express it in that way. But I think it's our journey we're sharing with people, isn't it? Just as we share with our, you know, other Christians and other people in the church our journey with the Lord, we can share that with our friends and colleagues that aren't Christians as well.
So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think sometimes, you know, I think for me, I also sort of struggle to perhaps, you know, share the gospel like I'd like to. But I think certainly praying is one of the areas that I'm feel perhaps freer to express that I pray, and that I'll pray for something, and that I've seen God do something through prayer. And, you know, and just as we can witness to one another growing in God, hopefully our non-Christian friends, you know, will see God's work in us, and that he'd be glorified in, you know, to them through our lives. So I think we're coming short on time, so I really appreciate you know, your contributions and your thoughts. It's so helpful, and I think it's going to really, you know, just stir and impact you know, some of us, you know, watching this morning. Shall I just pray for us as we finish? Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this time. Lord, I want to thank you for your word, and how we can, each one of us, how you reveal something different to us through it. Lord, I want to thank you that you're doing different things in our lives. We're all in different seasons of life, and yet you're at work. And Lord, we just say we love you. Lord, we thank you for your patience towards us. And we come as your disciples, and we say, teach us to pray. Reveal yourself so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we recognize we don't get it right all the time, Lord. We long to have more passion. We long to soak everything in prayer, Lord, but would you be gracious to us and help us? And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our guide, Lord, that you are our comforter and you are our helper in this whole area. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that everyone watching this morning, Lord, would have something that you speak, something that they can take away and act on and be encouraged by. Lord, ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's been great. We'll say goodbye.
Bye.